to where Death Holler brought us. Season 3, Slash or Pass. It became the classic horror film podcast of its time. And now Death Holler brings us the most shocking season ever. Season 4, Dead or Dead.
Yeah, they're dead. They're all messed up.
Imagine, if you will, that one of the hosts is absolutely terrified of zombies.
So, what's the plan? Bash him in the head. That seems to work out.
No, except the fact there is no escaping this horror. Death Holler brings back the dead. Death Holler, listener discretion is advised. With hospitality like this, you'll never want to leave. We hope you stay alive.
When there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk here.
Welcome back to Death Holler. I'm your host, Reverend Dr. Death. Joining me as always, my co-host, La Urena, and we are discussing the follow-up slash remake to Wreck, Quarantine from 2008. And I apologize in advance if this episode sounds or gives you a sense of deja vu. It's because it's the same movie.
Oh, yeah. Basically. It's in English, though, so it's easier to understand, one. And two, we will be spoiling a lot. If you skipped Wreck. Actually, I can't say we're spoiling anything. They're the same fucking film, same concept, same
minus the last 5 minutes.
Yeah. So, I mean, we will be spoiling. We will be making lots of comparisons. So we're going to be bouncing back and forth, and there probably will be a lot of tangents. And that's just what you get with us, you know?
Yeah, I think people look for the tangents, or I would imagine so. I mean, you know, that's part of it.
We haven't gotten complaints. The only complaint we have gotten is me being too loud. I am sorry. I'm not sorry because I am Latina, and I will not apologize for being who I am.
That passion has to get out there somehow, guys.
It has to get out there. I do try to keep my microphone away from my mouth, but then I just keep putting it too close, and it's just a natural instinct that women have with things this shape. I'm just kidding. I'm totally joking. I'm kind of.
As long as you don't start doing the thing that some of those TikTok ASMR girls start doing, well, actually, I think they also did it on Twitch, where you're gargling on your microphone, then, you know, that's...
You know what? Full disclosure, when we first... not this podcast, the podcast that really doesn't exist anymore, which is Hot Mess Express with the girls, you could hear Kayla and I a little too much. Like, I could hear us smacking a lot, because these microphones pick up fucking everything. For reference, I have a Shure... 600 series microphone that costs a lot of fucking money. And I forget what each one it is. And I Reverend, did I gift you yours?
I believe, yes, you did.
It is also a Shure. It is also expensive, but it's about half the price as mine. So while you have a really good one, I don't think it picks up half as much as this one does, which is one reason you could sound a little bit quieter, but you're also a guy and you have... I think your voice kind of stays a specific decibel, where mine...
That could be part of it also. I mean, being a bigger guy, I try not to be overly loud, because when I am, people get scared. So I have to modulate my voice down.
Well, when I do it, I just sound annoying. So there's that. But anyways, yes, these microphones used to pick up everything, so we could hear Kayla. And then, you know...
and you just turned somebody on because that's all ASMR is, just tapping of fingernails on shit.
Oh, gross. Anyways, yes, folks, it is what it is.
This tagline is, I mean, you talk about too long, didn't read. Oh, God. Listen to this. On March 11, 2008, the government sealed off an apartment complex in Los Angeles. The residents were never seen again. No details, no witnesses, no evidence until now. That is a tagline. That whole entire thing I just said. That's a synopsis, folks. That's not a tagline. That's a synopsis.
Please tell me there's other taglines.
There's one. There's okay. One other tagline.
Okay. so dumb.
Directed by John Eric Dowdle.
Do you need help with these names?
Well, in a minute I will.
Oh, shit.
Written by John Eric Dowdle and Drew Dowdle, based upon the story of Wreck, written by
Jaime Balaguero and Luis Verdejo.
Bendejo. I hope that Verdejo. You know he got called that. You know he got called that.
Probably.
I don't remember that last name.
Verdejo, Pendejo. I don't know. Something like that.
Paco Plaza.
Yeah. You would say that it's not Verdejo. It's Ver. You have to say it with a V because B's are V's and V's are B's.
That makes no fucking sense.
It doesn't. This is why I tell you Spanish is not easier than English.
Why doesn't English just spell it the way that they say it? And you know what I'm saying? Like that? It doesn't make sense to me the way we've translated these words. If they start with a B, sound, then we should be putting B's to them and vice versa. It's a different language, so why do they fucking care if we change the letters?
Tamales and females end in the same letters, but we say them differently. Like, instead of saying famales, we say females, and we could be saying famales.
This is another tangent. We've already started off on two this episode. I worked with a pharmacist who worked in Florida. And he was working in the ghetto portion of Florida.
Oof.
Where they actually had bars on the windows.
Oh, okay.
And the black gentleman who was his technician that he was working with was laughing and said, "Hey, you got to come over and look this name." And he was like, "What does this name say to you?" And the name was Female. And of course, the pharmacist I knew looked at it and said, "Female." And he's like, "Famale."
Yeah, exactly.
So there you go. There's actually people named Famale.
Oh, I got one more tangent. One more name. I have to say this if we're talking about bullshit like that. We had a customer that's last name was spelt Buttram. Butt Ram. Okay? It was Butt Ram. But when we announced that their car was ready over the intercom, they politely came up to us. Not politely at all. That was a lie. And they're like, "It's Buttram." It's Butt Ram.
So to piggyback on that tangent, you know, and I've not had an episode of this in a while, so I've got to get it out there, my love for the Nicolas Cage films.
Yes.
And he was on one of my favorite sketches ever on Saturday Night Live. Was he was a very young Nicolas Cage, was chatting with a female on, you know, in this one little sketch. They were in an apartment, and every time she would rattle off a name, he would come up with what the bullies would call the kid, you know, like, you know, just he would take the name, make it, you know, sexual or make it whatever to make fun of him. And you was like, why is he so, like, he would take even random names or, like, you know, regular names that nobody would ever make fun of and do that too. And so you're like, what's wrong with this guy? Well, it gets to the end of the episode and, like, there's a ring of the doorbell at the apartment and he goes to answer it. And the guy who rings the doorbell walks over and he's like, "I've got a package for Asswipe Johnson." And then Nicolas Cage looks over at the delivery guy and says, "It's as we pay."
As we pay. Oh, my, I remember that one.
This movie was made for $12 million. So that is a huge step up in budget, and that explains why it looks better.
Yeah, but it's crazy because is my microphone? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
I don't see my microphone showing up on my thing, and I'm like, what? Oh, wait, there it is. Just kidding. I'm stupid. Anyways, it's only slightly better is what I was trying to say.
Well, $10 million. I mean, I know that they had like, hire, actors as far, because actually these actors have been in stuff like that we know of.
Yes. I mean, so, oh yeah, definitely.
But even with that, I mean, that's still $10 million. Unless you're Disney, you can actually stretch that out and make a lot out of it. Now, $10 million to Disney wouldn't even pay for like 5 minutes of a film because they're stupid, but that's a whole different thing. They can't even make shows for less than $180 million. Like, how are you spending that much money on The Acolyte? Seriously.
Yeah, I mean, probably all of the CGI, and that's the only thing good.
No, the CGI was shit in that show. The only thing that makes sense to me is that they're taking that money and they're handing out to their friends and their basic on Disney's dime, which is fine because Disney sucks as a company. But Disney. It's like, you know, you really need somebody to rein in these budgets, because I mean, if a movie like this can look as good as it does and be made for $12 million, there is no fucking reason to make a television show for $180 million.
Well, I hate to throw these people out, and by these people, I mean me. I am these people. But the people who don't really see the visual issues, because I don't. And what is one of the most important things of Star Wars, aside from the soundtrack, it's the atmosphere. And if it looks like Star Wars, it feels like Star Wars. Now, you still have to have the story and the acting at the end of the day. So I'm not saying that, oh, you can get by with just that, but I feel like that's where a lot of the money, and what you're saying, you know, here, money for you, money for me, money for everyone. You get 1,000, you get 1,000, you get 1,000, 100,000, whatever. But, and the reason I say that is because when you go to Disneyland, which I don't like going to, but when you're in Star Wars land, it feels like you're in Star Wars. The music, the way everything looks. And so they do a really good job with that. So I feel like even though you're saying that it didn't look great, you know, the CGI or whatever, there's going to be people like me that are like, but it still looks good to them. You know, it still feels like Star Wars.
That might be the case, but there's still, you can do a lot. I mean, George Lucas made Star Wars what it looks like on a way less budget.
Way less budget, yeah. So, understandably.
Even with inflation, you know, people out there, well, technically it was in the 70s. Shut up. Yeah. Yes, inflation's bad, but even when accounting for inflation, it's stupid in the difference. This movie did make $41 million, so, I mean,
They did good.
It made... the difference between the two of them, as far as like this and Wreck probably made more money per capita, you know, for what it was for the budget, but still, I mean, four times the amount, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Principal players, we have Jennifer Carpenter playing Angela Vidal, and this is actually Angela in this movie. News reporter for Puff Pieces. Hers is like Not Something or Other is like the name of the show that they are, but it Night Shift is the name of the show that they do. But it's like, I mean, it's basically like the nighttime news. They just go out there and like film like little pieces for, you know, to fill in time or whatever. For
they should have called
news.
It Night Moves. That would have been so cool.
Then they would have had to play the song at some point.
Working on the Night Moves.
My buddy's dad used to use that as his getting down music, if you understand what I'm saying.
No.
He told me, he's like, if you ever come inside this trailer and my dad is blasting Night Moves, we've got to leave right now. And I'm like, okay, well, that's good to know, I guess.
Oh, my God.
Dexter is the show that she's primarily known for.
Never heard of it.
A pretty big deal. She was Emily Rose in The Exorcism of Emily Rose.
Such a good movie.
And she is in Brawl in Cell Block 99, which is also a very good movie and very hard to watch in scenes. If you think Vince Vaughn is only a comedic actor, watch Brawl in Cell Block 99. He will change your opinion. Steve Harris plays Scott Percival, who's the cameraman working with Angela in this film. He was in Minority Report, The Practice, and The Rock.
Man, all good movies.
Yep. Big time movies for some of this stuff. We have Jay Hernandez playing Jake, the firefighter assigned Angela and Scott. He was in the original Suicide Squad from 2016, and not the James Gunn version, but the one before that. And he was in Hostel 1 and 2.
Oh, my God. Which Human Horror, which I forgot. Human Horror is after When Bad Animals Go Bad. We have discussed this. Because I'm ready to torture you.
The torture porn. If we can get past torture porn and get past human centipede, I'll be fine. If you can front load that for me, I'll be fine for the rest of the season. I just don't need them like lingering throughout the season.
I feel that's like human horror is torture porn, though. It almost always is. No,
there's all kinds of thrillers. I mean,
The Hills Have Eyes. Torture porn. There's definitely porn in that.
Listen. Grape scenes and me don't go, but I understand. I mean, well, yes. The Last House on the Left is, I mean, it's a good movie once the revenge kicks in, but I don't like the stuff leading up to it.
Understandably.
Let's see. We have Jonathan Shake.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Playing George Fletcher, the firefighter who is dropped on his face. In this movie, he was in Prom Night Remake from 2008 and in the movie Suitable Flesh, which is a really good Lovecraftian movie that just came out.
Okay.
If you want to see Heather Graham,
who still looks
great.
Yeah.
You want to see her tits and you want to see her miming getting fucked and being horny through most of the movie. Highly suggest you watch Suitable Flesh.
I forgot. And he's the good looking guy
He's not the kid. The kid in the movie is the main character who she deals with that, you know,
he's the boyfriend.
Is the kid from the Babysitter movies from Netflix.
Okay.
So, you know.
Yes.
So Jonathan, I think he might be the husband to her.
Yes, husband. That movie. That's what I meant. Yeah. Okay. And because I remember she had a good looking husband and we're like, what the fuck are you doing?
I don't know. She's bored in that movie. She is not bored through the majority of it, though. I'll just say that.
No, she's bored with her husband, which he's good looking. I don't know. It's one of those things where, like, you got this hot wife and you're still cheating on her, you know?
And the funny thing is that when she gets freaky deaky, he's down the clown. So, I mean, he was just waiting for which way she wanted to swerve with it as long as he could get some in there.
Yeah.
Greg German plays Lawrence, the veterinarian in this movie, which makes sense that he's a veterinarian given what he is in this movie.
Yeah.
He's from Alec McBeal. I mean, plenty of people have seen that show.
Yes.
And Child's Play 2, which we've covered previously. He was the guy who worked for the company, I'm blanking on it, the good kids good guys company or whatever. He's the one that gets inside the car that's got Chucky in the back and then gets like strangled by him or whatever. But
choked to death with the plastic bag.
Yes.
Visual with that.
And we made fun of him because it's like, why would you give in to him? Just make him kill you. Like, why do any of that stuff for that doll? And then we have Joey King rounding out what I'm going to cover of the cast, who plays Brianna, who's in this version the young girl who is sick with bronchitis or whatever.
She's got consumption.
Quotation marks.
Yes.
She was in Bullet Train later on in her life, obviously, and she's actually went on to do voice acting. She's in a couple of video games, and Despicable Me 4 she does voice in.
I feel like video games is where it's at because I feel like if you have a job in video games, you have a job for life.
If you can get a job in video games or in just like cartoons, like you always have a job.
Yeah, but will anyone be like, what's her name? Who's the most popular one? She's got real big knockers.
Tara Strong. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yep.
Synopsis: same as Wreck, with a more secular ending based on all that all American boogeyman terrorism.
Yep.
Which is literally the movie. It's just Wreck. I mean, but you swap out super rabies and a terrorist group. For, you know, demon possession, basically.
Yeah.
And the one other tagline this movie that came out is contain the truth.
And that's it. Hella good.
Yeah, it's way better than that big long, too long didn't read one that I just came
contain
out with.
Contain the truth should have been the tagline, and the too long didn't read could have been like the other taglines, you know? But it wasn't.
I could have just copied it down and put it in the synopsis and just flipped them.
That is true. Who would have known? Nobody's going to know.
quotes. That's the only one that really stood out for me. Angela Vidal, after witnessing Bernard be killed by a CDC sniper, because they do get sniped in this movie.
Yeah.
Scott, they're not going to let us out here alive, are they? And then Scott Percival, no, I don't think so.
That's a sad reality. That yeah. I would have been so fucking scared. But I will tell you what, that would have caused me to barricade and fight more. And that's the one thing about these films that I feel like there's a lot of running. And I yes, there's danger afoot everywhere. I'm not oblivious to that. But they can be taken down.
And the only problem is at a certain point, there's so many of them on the stairwell that they can't really, because they set up in these movies, especially this one, that it's not just being bitten. It's if the saliva gets in a cut or, well, the blood or yeah. saliva gets in a cut or in your eyes or in your mouth. So even if you get away from them, I mean, or you keep them from biting you, which is its own thing.
Yes.
I mean, there is a chance that just randomly some of the blood's going to splatter in your face trying to attack them, and bam, you've got it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it is a whole apartment building. It doesn't feel like a whole apartment. I know there's a lot of them, don't get me wrong, but it doesn't feel like an entire building.
And well, and the other thing too is, and I can't like think of these movies without thinking of Wreck 2. Like Wreck 2 sets up that once they get like in big numbers, like they are, like they break into some of those apartment buildings. Like you're saying that you just like lock yourself in one of the rooms. One of the guys, one of the soldiers in Wreck 2 does that, and they break the door down and come and get his ass.
That is true, because they do go and, you know, I don't know. What do? Just give up then?
He takes a bullet to the brain. That's what he does to yeah. get rid of it. So
he ain't turning to one of them's.
Yeah. Only man in the movie that's got any sense. Literally the only man in that movie that has any sense. Visuals in this movie, way better than Wreck.
Yeah.
You can see more, but you can also see more because if you're an English speaker, you can just watch the movie. Yeah,
that is true. Yes, 100%. Which is not at fault of the other movie. It was not intended for us white folk. Excuse me, I'm not even white. But us English-speaking only folk.
There you go, because I was going to say Spanish people are pretty white.
You know what? Shut the hell up.
For people from Spain are we white are. And pasty white at that.
We are, and I created like the whitest Spaniard daughter. At least she's got German in her too, but tomato potato, you know, they're all white. And she is, if I were to be a white-colored Latina, which I am, I'm not the lightest, but I am not dark by any means. She is ghostly white. It is funny. You know what's funny is she can't hide sickness. You can see it.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
They actually turn green.
I mean, you know, as white as I am, I mean, being a ginger, I burn pretty easy, so I stay a shade of red at all points during the year except for like maybe winter. So there's that,
which is funny because so another tangent, how do you get your vitamin D then? Do you actually have to supplement?
I do supplement, okay. But the tangent about redheads is technically we don't need as much vitamin D as the rest of you folks.
Fuck you guys. No wonder everyone hates you.
The reason I say that is because redheads are like super absorbers of sunlight for vitamin D, so we don't need as much sunlight to get vitamin D.
Damn it. I literally had my doctors like, said that you look like you don't get a lick of sunlight, and I'm on vitamin D supplements now.
But everybody who lives now needs supplement in some yeah. way, because we don't stay outside for any reason, unless you're like, you know, road worker or somebody who actually has an outside job.
Yeah,
you know.
Exactly. Okay.
Other things visual that I like about this movie, a little bit easier to see stuff because yes. we mentioned this last episode with Wreck. It's, you know, you have the darkness in that movie. They've things lit a little bit better in this movie, whether they should be or not, because yeah. it looks a little too movie-like in this one.
Yeah,
that's one thing I'll give Wreck over this movie visually, is that it looks more real than this one does. This one's got too much of a film quality about it.
Yes.
It's a little too plain, a little too lit. The zombies look great in this movie, though.
Yes.
The red in the eyes when they really turn, like, that is freaky shit. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it looks good. Let's see. Anything else about the visuals? I mean, Doug Jones, I mean, he's always hired because he's that, you know, he's that tall, lanky, creepy look. He plays the he is the doctor at the end of this movie, as opposed to just the possessed girl slash woman in that movie. He looks pretty freaky in his scenes, but I think she was way freakier in the way she was presented personally. Story, same exact story as Wreck, except for the last few, well, except for the sniper scenes, because I don't know if they added that because A, it's America and guns.
Yeah.
Or if they added in the fact because they knew Wreck 2 was being filmed simultaneously to this and Wreck 2 was showing the sniper scenes in that movie and they were just like, hey, let's throw it in, because it could be either or. I could see either explanation for why the sniper scenes are in this movie.
Yeah.
Pretty effective though. It cements the idea. It's like they're not getting out of this place.
Period. Yeah, and it kind of gives that, I don't know, disparity.
Yeah, it makes you you pretty much give up hope, like the main characters when that happens.
I mean, it doesn't feel like they gave up hope, but they were running on empty. For sure.
Yeah. There wasn't much else left for them.
They still wanted to live. They still kind of wanted to fight. It's just that fight, it becomes a little bit harder to justify.
Yeah, and even though there's still the possibility they might find the keys to the penthouse to get out, you know, through the sewers. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, how much? Because something else Wreck 2 sets up, which is smart, which is why I like Wreck 2 so much. Some of the characters get up through the sewer, and as soon as they get up through there, one of the characters goes to try to see if they can get back out that way, and the police have welded the sewer grate shut so they can't get out.
Okay, but how far? Because the sewers interconnect through the entire city, if not further.
The one grate that like is in the textile section that they could use to get out is the one that they sealed up. You know, building couldn't, you know, get out that, or anybody in the building couldn't use it.
Oh, so it was literally, so there was no other routes that they could go?
No.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, they didn't, quarantine doesn't show that, obviously, because they don't get that far. They get up to penthouse, and then that's where it ends for everybody.
Yeah.
Something that I don't like about this movie, though, when it comes to the last 5 minutes, because it's that whole doomsday cult and all that stuff with the terrorists.
Yes.
Why the kid? The kid makes sense in Wreck because they go back and explain that the priest was, for whatever reason, trying to, I guess kids are innocent. And he was trying, he thought that might help with the, you know, them hold off the demon, possession a little bit longer. But why was this doomsday cult just using random children, that one random kid that's up in the attic? Why is he there in this version?
That is a good question that I don't have the answer to, for just other than to match the other film, kind of, but it's a cult. They don't care.
Yeah, but I know, but like, where'd they get the kid at? Like that, I mean, like, you know, Catholic Church getting kids. That's a whole other discussion.
In the first film, I thought she was allegedly possessed and they were trying to cure her or whatever.
Well, they were, but Wreck 2 reveals that he injected that virus into multiple children.
So they were utilizing I don't know where they got this kid. Now you got me asking questions I don't have answers to.
I just don't understand why how the kid fits, because this movie is purely, it's medical related. Mm-hmm. they weaponized the virus, which
the dog,
2020
got it?
Just saying, but so anyways,
did they, okay, now I got a question, did they explain how the dog got it?
They did not, other than the fact that it's assumed, based upon the context clues of this movie, the rats spread it to everybody in the building.
Which is totally fine. That's completely explainable. What I don't understand is, how did the dog attack somebody in this film when the dog was allegedly at the vet?
Well, see, that's what they do in this movie that they didn't do in Wreck. The dog that was at the vet in this movie... died. It was put down, but not until it infected all the other animals at the veterinarian. And that's when the CDC knew. They were like, where did this come from? This is beyond anything we've ever seen. And they track it back to the building. But the dog in this movie that you actually see rip open the guy's, you know, neck or whatever in the elevator belongs to the old lady that they first meet. Like, that dog runs out as soon as they get in her apartment, a dog runs past them. So that's her dog. There's multiple, and there's even a little like lap dog that runs up the steps at one point in the movie. So there's multiple dogs in this movie. They went all out with animals in this one.
Certified good boys.
What about the rat? Was he a certified good boy before he got squished by the cameraman with a boot heel?
Look at, I'm not here to judge the animals. They are innocent in these games, okay? We are the ones that are interfering with their lives and trying to take over, so my client is innocent.
By the way, I think when that dog attacks the guy in the elevator, they show the dog from, like, its tail, like, above its tail. Yes.
Because you know why? He was being a good boy and doing his job.
He was wagging his tail. You could guarantee. That guy probably had on some kind of, like, peanut butter, like, you know, kind of concoction or some kind of meat-flavored, like, liver-flavored, like, gel or something on his neck so the dog would even go after his neck. That's usually what they do in these movies, isn't it, to get that effect. Yeah, the story's the exact same. Like, if you've seen one, you've seen the other. That's why I was bored. Like, I watched this one first and was really into it. And then when I watched Wreck for most of the movie, I was kind of bored because I was like, I've seen this exact thing. Just now I'm having to read it instead of watch it. Not taking anything from Wreck, because Wreck set the story. I mean, that's why it's a good one, but it's just... one or the other, whichever one you prefer to watch. You're except for the ending, and the ending is way better. And then Wreck 2 makes Wreck. I mean, that whole Wreck is way better, and just because Wreck 2 makes the story better, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because I'll be honest with you, we got so many terrorist stories in America after, I mean, you talk about, what was that, 24 that had Jack Bauer on it or whatever? Kiefer Sutherland, I mean, TV show. Like, after 9/11, we just got terrorists. And most zombie movies were started by terrorists and after that time, too. So the fact that this was some doomsday cult terrorist, I'm like, okay, yet again, more terrorists.
Yeah.
That's just what it was. Acting. People were pretty good in this movie. I really liked the actress who plays Angel in this movie pretty well.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I mean, she's easy on the eyes. That helps. But
Jennifer,
I mean, like,
I forget what her name is, but.
But she does a pretty good job of, like, conveying, like, being scared and everything.
Yeah, so. She's a good actress, too. She's in the multiple things that I've seen her in. Well, clearly, I loved her in Exorcism of Emily Rose, but I've seen her in Dexter, too. She's a good actress. I think we just need to throw that out there.
She is. Yeah, I mean, and so you're getting a good, and then the guy who plays the veterinarian, I've seen him in plenty of things. He's a character actor. He always, you know, brings it when he is in the movie. The guy who's the cameraman, you don't really see him, but again, the cameraman does actually step in and help, so it makes the movie feel at least a little bit more realistic that way as opposed to Diary of the Dead.
Yeah.
have to keep harping on that because it just makes no goddamn sense. But yeah, the acting's fine. Dogs, rats, whatever, they do their jobs. That one rat runs at him and you're like, oh shit. So, I mean, it, you know, even a Ratso does his job. And then there's no music in this one again. So can't really say much about the music. I mean, but it adds to the movie because, this one, I could much more hear the sounds of the helicopters, the gunshots and everything else in this movie versus the, Wreck. It just stands out more. They had probably, part of that money was probably put toward like a better audio mix or something.
I'm very disappointed right now that I am not getting the information about the dog's name in this movie. He is an actor. Oh my God, his tail is wagging the entire time. I'm watching the clip right now. His tail. He's barking, but he's wagging his tail the whole. Oh, there he goes attacking the person. Okay, hold on. Let's see. It's shaking. The camera's shaking, so you can't really see. The tail is absolutely wagging.
Dogs that are trained cannot, I mean, it's a common thing. They just cannot stop wagging their tail. They know they're being good boys. So they were good girls and they wagged their tail.
These motherfuckers are trying to open up the elevator door. I would not be opening, knowing that there's a fucking disease going around in this fucking building. Who's going to stop the dog?
This is right after she was told by a veterinarian how that was spread. That makes no sense why she's even attempting.
Save him. He's gone, ma'am. And that's a certified good boy. That dog's tail was whoop, 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 whoop.
Let's see. Anything else about this movie that stands out? It's pretty much the same movie as Wreck. I don't know what else to say. I mean, it's we're reviewing the same movie twice.
Can I tell you something that annoyed me about both movies? And what's I don't that? Know why. Is it that how claustrophobic everything felt in these buildings in terms of looking for things?
There was very narrow hallways. Yes. It makes it even worse because you're seeing that very narrow angle mm-hmm. camera too, which is one of the reasons why I said I liked Wreck a little bit better, because those that GoPro type thing that the soldier has is expanded out, so you get more. It's like you're not as closed in, so it opens it up a little bit. Yeah, it makes it very. The camera's adding to that effect quite a bit.
Yeah, 100%. But yeah, it just felt so. I hated it. I felt like things were kind of a cluster, if you will. There was like it was no. I don't know. I was like, is everybody in this building like a hoarder of sorts or something like that? Like it just felt. I don't know. That's the, well, that was bothering me. Now that's how my house feels. So I am. You know, I'm preaching to the choir right now, myself.
Yeah, I'm same situation, so I can't say shit.
Exactly. Like my studio right now, but I would not give away these Halloween decorations for the world, you know?
Well, that's where I'm filming at. I've got more movies than I've got shelf space, so they're just kind of willy-nilly all over the place.
Yeah, it happens. Anyways, that's what bothered me both. And I think that's the scenery. I think it's supposed to be that way. So I will say that.
It's supposed to make it feel lived in. And I mean, there's very few people who have spotless houses/apartments.
That is
I
true,
mean,
yeah.
The only thing that I saw in this movie that, you know, of course they had to throw in there because it's American, it's not, you know, Spain, is they had a slight little, you know, thing about like racial relations a little bit. And when she's interviewing the veterinarian,
yeah,
and he looked she's interviewing him, she's sitting there, the cameraman's filming, and the cop is rattling off like, okay, who lives in all these apartments? It's either the cop or the firefighter, and they're going over like the list, and they get to the Africans that live in there, and then the veterinarian has to say something like, oh, they don't speak any English, and you know and he makes some kind of comment. I don't remember what it is now, but it struck me. It's like one of those things, like just a little bit of a little nudge there. It's like, and they're already ostracized or something because they can't. And I'm like, come on.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, but because it's America and we have to throw in race relations every time that we get, you know, the slightest opportunity, even though every main character in this movie has some Hispanic, you know, nature to them. We have to throw in there, of course, the black people are being, you know, put down. It's like, oh my God.
In Life After Beth, they did it best with the Haitians, okay? What, you think just because I'm Haitian, I like know about zombies?
That was pretty funny. It's like, but she didn't know about zombies.
Yeah.
That's a good damn movie. It really is. Yeah. It should get more play.
We reviewed it. If you guys have not watched Life After Beth or listened, I'm sorry, watched and listened to our review, go back, do both.
But yeah, let's get into trivia, because I don't know what else to say about this movie that's not already been said in the Wreck episode.
Yeah, sorry guys. Please listen to Wreck, because we really do review this movie already in there.
The apartment complex was a set but fully functional one with four floors,
which is completely opposite. Yeah, but it was completely opposite, because in Wreck it was all actual places.
It was a real building. Yeah. Both the directors of the original movie Wreck have expressed their dissatisfaction with this movie.
They can fuck off. I'm sorry. Like what needs to happen is they need to be acknowledged. If they were not. Quarantine is basically this film, but Quarantine did do it slightly better to the disadvantage of Wreck, who did it first. So, of course, you can do something better. You've already had the fucking blueprints.
The only thing that I think that they might be disappointed with was the change and like the nature of the virus. And I agree. If that's what they're going with, then I agree with them.
Okay, that's fine, but then that's their thing. They should be happy because they were able to expand upon their universe and continue with that, where these people are kind of like, I guess there is technically there's still another quarantine. Yeah, there's a part two.
there is a Quarantine 2 called, or Quarantine 2 : The Tunnels or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it, but it's totally different characters, has nothing to do with this movie other than, you know, it's the rabies virus and that's pretty much it.
I think that it was more respectful that the American one be a little bit less less religious. I think that worked really well in terms of the Latin community, that that is kind of, it is our thing, but it's not, but it is, you know?
It makes more sense for the area they set it in. Yeah. Like I said, as much as it's played out, terrorists on American soil creating a zombie virus, it fits. It
100%.
Just, it does.
So I can't agree with them on that.
It's one of those things, though, like Stephen King in The Shining, or discuss that in Rec episode, we'll bring it back here. He hated Kubrick's version because it changed the intent of his movie from being that there is an afterlife, there is ghosts, and, you know, and they're really dealing with this stuff, to where Kubrick was like, there isn't, there might not be such a thing, and the main characters might be crazy.
Whereas
this one, this one does a similar thing. There's demons, there's God, there's, you know, and in this one, it's like, nope, it's a virus made by terrorists, you know, so it. But I'm with you. Like, they're it's so close. They really have no reason to complain about it.
I don't. Yeah, the only part is the ending part, which you said I can agree with that. But I'm like, I can't, because there's also a level of respect that has to be had for a culture. And if I don't, if these if these movie producers and directors don't think that they have that, then I think that it's good that they went in a slightly, only slightly different direction, but something they're a little bit more familiar with.
Yeah, and Catholicism has, like, way different ties in Spain than it does in America, period.
100%.
I mean, they couldn't have made this movie with, like, Protestants and it be the demon thing. So, because there is a branch of, like, Protestants who deals in, like, because I used to watch all those paranormal shows, but it is very small. Like, that is a Catholic church thing that goes after possessions.
Mm-hmm, 100%. I mean, they're considered the experts. And they legit have people that get involved with them, and the church works with psychologists, because even the church understands that these people more than likely are just crazy.
The majority of them are just psychosis.
Now, there is a very, very, very sliver, I don't even want to say a percent, of people that they consider to be real possession, and I'm afraid to know about that.
you don't even want to think about the actual reality of that.
Yeah, but that's what the Catholic Church is for. They legit have a whole department of it, almost like police officers, but they're not. They're like experts in exorcism, and they have to work with law enforcement and psychologists. It's fucking insane. I think the best part of it, though, is that working with psychologists, the person who, let's say they are crazy and they really think that they're possessed, they actually get the treatment of, oh, I'm possessed, but I'm being cured by someone who's an expert. And psychologically, that may work. Can you see how that would work?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's... Most people don't want to realize this, but don't want to even think about it or entertain the notion, but most of them... regardless of, like, therapy, you know, because therapy is its own thing, works in different ways, and is proven long-term to be the best, but it also takes the longest to get up and running.
Yeah.
Medication-wise, I can tell you for a fact, the placebo effect for psych meds is so high that they have to change the rules for those meds as opposed to other medicines. Like, if you was doing a blood pressure medicine, it has to be in a very narrow window to, you know, like it, or I take that back. It has to really prove that it affects blood pressure versus placebo.
Correct.
Or they won't let it get on the market.
Yes.
Psych meds are 50% as effective as placebo, or hell vice versa, I should say. So the percentage is so high that they have to, if it gets within that 50% range where it could be working, could be not, could be in their head, they just have to let it go and say, okay, this works. We'll just market it.
And as a psychiatrist, you have to make the determination that it's safe to give them placebos and that they're crazy enough to need something, but not so crazy that they need actual chemicals to rewire their brain.
But the thing is that the brain because it's the problem.
Yes.
When it thinks it's been treated, it actually treats itself. That's the crazy thing.
I love that medicine so much. I love that idea. I did not know about this. I just got a wrinkle in my brain.
It is very, it's very heavy. It's almost 50% in a lot of cases. I think when sertraline, Zoloft was like, or actually Prozac was the first one, fluoxetine, when it was first introduced, first of all, it stopped lobotomy, so thank God for that. But when it was introduced, it had such a high placebo effect that it might not even actually be as effective as they thought it was.
I just thought of something. What's so sad, though, is there's doctors that are profiting more by prescribing the real deal than placebos.
Yes, there is.
Fuck.
I mean,
that's the sad reality.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, it's one of those things. Circling back to all this, the ending makes sense for the area that it's set in, because the religious aspect wouldn't have worked as well set in America. If that's what I don't know. They might have been screwed on the back end of this and not got any money for it, and then that'd be a good reason to be pissed at the movie. To be honest, it's like, you took our movie, you didn't pay us, you know, what we felt like we were owed. But the way it's worded, it says they're dissatisfied with the movie itself. That seems kind of stupid. I mean, given what it is.
Yeah.
Atypical for a Hollywood movie, this film does not feature a musical score, as previously stated.
Yeah.
It was shot in chronological order, again, which doesn't make any sense for this one as much as the original Rec, because they didn't have to shoot this one in chronological order. It's cool that they did, but they could have shot, I mean, since it's a filmed movie, they could have shot it, and it wasn't done like, you know, improv style. Or to my knowledge, it wasn't. They could have just filmed it however they wanted to, and it would have worked. So I don't understand that part of it, but they did. So
yeah,
it took 4 hours for Doug Jones to get into his full body prosthetic that he wears at the end of the movie, and he was only required to film for a day.
Which is funny because how many hours?
Four hours.
Okay, they said 12 body. For some reason. Now his getup. And you can agree or disagree with me, but I feel like it looks good, but it feels like it's less scary than the Spanish
the
one.
The lady waist creeped me out more than the Doug Jones version of this movie.
She had like a 100%. Longer, rounder face, I think, whereas he looks a lot more human. I mean,
yeah, he's supposed to be an infected person, like to a certain extent, just kind of, you know. If you can find that picture and just kind of send it to me, because I don't want to be typing on my loud ass keyboard
trying
to look that up.
You're talking about of Doug Jones and the other lady?
Just Doug Jones, because I watched Wreck today, so I know what she looks like.
Oh, okay, but, well, it's on its way. Give me a second.
Actually, I watched Wreck 2 today as well, and she comes back. She's really in Wreck 2. Like, you'll see a lot of that lady in Wreck 2.
Wow, okay. All right, I just sent it.
Okay.
I mean, even the soggy underwear looks just like hers, so.
Soggy underwear. In October 2008, Knott's Berry Farm theme park in Buena Park, California, had a quarantine-themed walkthrough maze for the park's 36th annual Knott's Scary Farm Halloween Haunt. It was their third movie-themed Halloween Haunt maze after Beowulf and The Grudge, too.
Have you ever been, do you guys, you guys don't have a Knott's Berry out in your area?
We don't. No, okay. We don't.
Obviously we do. It's in our
area.
Yeah,
the lady is way scarier than Doug Jones. He just looks like he looks like a crackhead from Eastern Kentucky. I hate saying that, he does.
Anyways, Knott's Scary Farm. I think there's a misconception because it's Knott's Berry, like the jam, and they do sell that there. But when you hear not scary, you think it's not scary, but it's actually very scary. They put a lot into their production. I didn't even know that Elvira for the longest time had a live show at Not Scary. She loves Not Scary Farm.
Yeah, she actually, this year I saw on TikTok, she's got her own store there where she's selling her own items for Elvira.
Yes. And she talks about how amazing the amount of money. I think they put more money into the production of Not Scary Farm than they do for Halloween Horror Nights. However, Halloween Horror Nights seems to get more attention. But I feel like when we went to Not Scary Farm, it was ridiculously busy. Like, you're talking asshole to asshole. But the production value is so fucking good. But there was a lot of little kids there that were scared out of their fucking mind. I will say this about Universal Studios. I don't know how they do it. I don't know. I think it's all the advertisement that they put out that allegedly scares people. But the kids that go there aren't afraid. They do. These parents know if you're going to go, you better you're going and you better know what you're showing up for. They don't. I have not seen a kid screaming, crying, or terrified. They're scared. Don't get me wrong, but they're not like that whiny scared. Like they didn't know what they were getting into. They're scared like fuck.
Or the whiny scared that means that mom and dad are not going to sleep for the next 3 weeks.
Pretty much, yeah. Exactly. So, but not Scary Farm. Those parents are not going to be getting sleep because they brought their kids to something that they were not anticipating to be as scary as it is, and they done fucked up.
Well, I can't speak for not Scary Farm because I don't actually like follow that a whole lot. I have seen certain things, you know, the same people who do the HHN coverage, they always like do that. But to my knowledge, or what I was thinking, was that unlike HHN, where it's like, you know, the scare actors are very much told, do not touch, mm-hmm. do not follow, you know, all that stuff. Not scary if it's anything like Hallow Scream, which is what Busch Gardens and SeaWorld puts on. They specifically tell them, it's like, if they get super scared, get up in their face, harass them, you know, that sort of thing. So if Not Scary does that, that makes a difference, a big difference.
Bush is not scary. It's Not Scary, FYI.
Okay.
So you do have it up there. You just don't have it the same name as we do.
Hallow Scream is a little bit different, though. So I don't, I mean, I think out there they put way more in the Not Scary in California.
Probably. Because
their main competitor is HHN. And like they're, it's one or the other that comes out every year just based upon whatever, you know, is going on.
Which reminds me, it's just so hard because it's already expensive enough to be able to afford HHN. So we kind of have to pick and choose. But if we can, I would like to be able to afford to do Not Scary and HHN again. Not Scary really doesn't get the credit it deserves, honestly.
Everybody who's ever been there loves it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Also the fact that their rides they go out of their way to make sure the rides are like super dark, you know, during that. If you like the roller coasters, making them extra scary if you go on those, like that makes a big difference too.
Yes. And it seems like the ride operators really like their job too, because they'll fuck with you and they'll be like, hey, you guys ready? But as they're saying ready, you're already going. They fuck with you. They'll be like, oh, I think the buttons broke. Like, okay, hold on, everybody. I need you to wait for a second. And then, like, as he's saying that, he's hitting the button for them to go. So he just scared the fuck out of them, told them that the ride's not working properly, and then they're just like, they're gone. So I love it.
That's such an asshole thing, but it is. Worked.
Oh, we were dying the whole time. The only problem is that the line was so long that we experienced a lot of it. Somehow this guy managed to have a different saying every fucking time. So it was pretty awesome. I don't know if he rehearsed them, I wrote them down, but by the time we got up, it was something completely different.
Was it anything Halloween related? It's just like see you in the afterlife or something like that, and he just lets it go?
Sometimes, yeah.
Getting back to the trivia on this movie, though, remake of Rec 2007, obviously we mentioned it several times, but Rec 2 was being filmed in the same building as Rec, but Quarantine 2 Terminal's the name of it.
Yes.
Wasn't filmed in the same building, but in a plane in an abandoned building. So that's you know where the differences come in.
Okay.
And Quarantine 2, to my understanding, follows more like soldiers and stuff having to deal with like the aftermath of like getting out of the building.
Sorry about that, guys.
This was not screened for U.S. critics, which is usually a bad sign, but it's a good movie, so I don't know why they chose to do that. Despite being a near shot-for-shot remake of Wreck, in discussion leading up to release and behind the scenes, the filmmakers referred to the film as an entirely new story.
Fucking
that might
lies.
Have pissed off the original directors.
If that pissed off the directors, that is it right there, because that's shut the fuck up. You are identical. When I was watching Wreck, I was like, this is... Even the outfit that she's wearing matches Jennifer, whatever her face is, Angela's. Angela.
Yeah, Angela and Angela.
Their outfits were identical. The white, what do you call it, wife beater, if you will.
Tank top, yeah, yeah.
I prefer wife beater, but you know, I'm old school.
Bang, zoom right to the moon, just beating your ass. Yeah, if they claim that, then the original directors had entirely reason to be pissed off, because there is nothing original. The only thing original is that last 5 minutes, and that's not original. That's just like, what is scary in America? Oh, terrorism. Let's throw that in there.
It is. It's the truth. So
Quarantine 2008, Lawrence also guest stars in Grey's Anatomy, wherein his character is reluctantly sent to quarantine during the COVID-19 pandemic. So there's a little bit of a connection. Jay Hernandez also plays a firefighter in Ladder 49 and stars in World Trade Center, which real life events were an influence on the making of the original wreck. So there's a connection there. And then Jennifer Carpenter and Steve Harris have starred as comic book characters in the Batman saga. Carpenter would go on to voice Selina Kyle in Gotham by Gaslight, and Harris voiced Detective Ian Bennett / Clayface in the Batman from 2004-2008. So closing thoughts, our rating for this, I'm going to give this like a 4.2 because I did get more scared in this movie because I could pay attention to it. And the zombies are creepier to me, like the eyes and the, and the way that they film the scenes. Like that old lady, when they come back the second time and she hops up there and she comes running for them, she is full on like creepy zombie. Like, you know, if I saw that, I'd probably shit myself before I tried killing her.
Yeah.
So it definitely hit. But the creepy girl / woman at the end of Wreck is way better than Doug Jones, like night and day better. So
yes.
You know, and then Wreck 2 just blows the doors off both of them, in my opinion.
If you ask me, and I've already said this in Wreck, I liked the storyline of Wreck better, how it ended currently, because I haven't seen part 2 yet, and you said 2 kind of ties everything together, but that's just where I'm standing at now. I'm not saying I'm not going to like it, but I'm not saying I am. I like that it had a more religious tone to it. That's my thing, and that scares me a little bit more.
It will should scare you more in Wreck 2 when it starts showing the
when it really takes off. Stuff. Yeah, but I think that it was scarier. They had an edge, more of an edge on this film because they had a blueprint already to go off of.
Yeah,
which is fucked up for them trying to say, "Oh, it's a whole new story." Shut the fuck up. No, it's not. It's the exact same story with a slightly different twist at the ending. What the twist? You know,
with the twist.
And that for that reason, I am giving this one a 4.0. I gave the last one a 3.8 only because visually it looked better and was a little bit more scarier. Although the monster was better in the other one, they're really not that far off from each other. There was things.
They're not. That's the reason I only bumped up 2 points from a 4 to 4.2. It's really the difference between them is really the reading. I mean, if I had my druthers, the story, the way that it ended, and that woman at the end is way better than Wreck. So it's technically the better movie, in my opinion. It's just this one was made better, and because I didn't have to read it, I got the creepiness of it more.
Yeah. So I think I really liked – I did – there's a – I know Spanish is hard to translate sometimes, but sometimes the thing that they're saying, it sounds more dreary or more dreadful – than what you're getting in the English language. So I am going to say that I liked the script of the Spanish one versus the English one. I don't know. I don't know why. Probably because the words are just, they're so much more dramatic. Mexicans or Hispanics are Spanish. They're so much more dramatic. So I think being able to have looked at and kind of understand what they're trying to say, thankfully, it wasn't too difficult for me compared to you. And the English one is just, it is what it is. I didn't have to do anything with
that. It honestly sounds like to me that you should flip your scores because I think you like Wreck better in this movie in the long run.
It's quite possible. It's just there's things that I like better. I wish that the script of that one kind of was with the English one. Just because, well, not the English one, but like maybe the 2008 version because it just looked so much better.
Yeah.
No, but then again, in Wreck, it kind of gave it the look it was supposed to have, because you're right, because 2008 looked like a movie. No, I'm sticking with I'll go back. I'll flip the scores. This one will get a 3.8, and Wreck will get a 4.0, because that one's, it's supposed to look like found footage, and this one kind of doesn't.
It totally does. It looks way more like it's supposed to in Wreck.
Yeah.
And I should be flipping them too, but honestly, it's just the reading of it. Like, I normally don't do this. I normally base it upon the movie, and all the movie stuff should give it the higher score for Wreck. But it's a scary movie, so it has to scare you to a certain extent. And I got more scared by this one just because I could focus on it more.
Yeah, I can't blame you for that. I don't know. I can't blame you for that because you and I both watched When Evil Lurks, and that was entirely in Spanish, so we did have to both read that one as well. But that one portrayed a dread in our hearts that, at least especially mine, I don't know so much yours, but I think it gave you enough of a good story and passion behind the actors that you're like, maybe I didn't understand half of what I've listened to, but this is a good-ass movie.
One other thing that helped When Evil Lurks, even though it was a Spanish film and I had to read subtitles, is they were very sparse. Like, the movie sells you on the visuals 100%. More than it does the spoken.
And the spoken, even though it's fast, it's not as fast. I probably could have watched that movie without any subtitles and been perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Versus this one, I needed subtitles because they were frantic. They were speaking so fast. And even when you're speaking that quickly, and then you had the screams in the background, there was way too much to focus on that when somebody's speaking in Spaniards and Mexicans already speak so quickly that when you have that thrown in, it's like, I'm done. Whereas When Evil Lurks really slowed down the tempo of the speaking, it was a little bit more clear. The translation, you don't have to worry about what the next line is because it's able to stay on the screen long enough for you to read it before you get to the next thing. But also, they didn't speak a lot in the movie as much.
And that's, I mean, this is a totally different movie, but the reason that I liked Godzilla Minus One so well, even though it was totally in Japanese and had subtitles, was that visually you could enjoy the movie and still understand what was going on because the way that they were delivering their lines, it was just enough to where you could read it and then flip your eyes back up to the screen, you know?
Exactly.
I just felt like with Wreck, like there was so much chaos and later in the movie, and you were trying to get the story as Angela was in her, or Angela was trying to, interview the people, that you had to be paying constant attention to that little, script box, because if you didn't, you'd miss something. You're like, wait, why is the kid sick again? It's like, rewind it back, you know? I mean,
exactly. So it does kind of take away. I did have time, so when I didn't understand what I heard, I did have time to look down, shockingly, during Rec. Sometimes I had to Google a few words here and there. So I didn't understand every single word, but for the most part, like, if I didn't understand something, I'd look, and then sometimes I had to pause and be like, okay, what does this mean? Oh, okay, this makes sense now, you know?
And I think that's honestly why I like Rec 2 so well, is because it does exactly what we talked about. It goes slow enough and there's less chaos. You know what's going on in the building, so you don't need to hear
these
talking. The only thing is you're the priest is telling you stuff that's different, you know, that wreck on some things. But he says it like when he's doing that, usually it's a scene where you don't have to focus as much on what's happening.
Yes.
And you can actually focus on the words because he's holding something or somebody and he's explaining while he's doing it. So you get the gist of it and you just read the words and enjoy it, whereas you're not having to pay as much attention that way.
Okay, that makes sense. So anyways,
it's a little bit easier to flip back and forth.
Ultimately both really good movies. We're ranging here between, you know, a 3.8 to a 4.2,
yeah, somewhere in that range.
Really good movie scores. Ultimately, one really looks like found footage, where one looks like a Hollywood
attempt. Yes. Found footage.
Found footage, but they're still really good. Lots of good jump scares, lots of dread, disparity. So, definitely recommend both films.
Yeah, I mean, you can't go wrong with either one of them. Which one do you prefer to watch? I mean, they're both.
It sounds both like Rec goes way further, though, when you're talking about having a part four. And they all sound pretty decent. Nobody talks about 3 a lot, but it sounds like 3 was a prequel. It's a prequel?
Yeah, 3 was a prequel, and yeah, it wasn't really needed. Like, if you just go 1, 2, and 4, it way expands out the story and is worth going for.
Exactly. So if you're looking for a film that has that much, like, concept in it, you want to go with Rec, whereas Quarantine kind of just, they just have their different versions of Quarantine. You can get in any zombie film, honestly.
And the thing is, that's the reason why the ending sucks in this one versus Wreck, is because they set up such a lore-dense ending that they expanded upon. You couldn't have done much with this ending, honestly. I mean, with Quarantine, it's like, okay, it's terrorists. More terrorists are out there. Whoop-de-doo.
Yeah.
You know, like, what else are you going to do with it? I mean,
exactly.
So that's just where it falls. They kind of, by making it more localized and more secular and less religious, they actually hampered the long-term, longevity of it.
Exactly.
All right, folks. Join us next time when we cover Wreck 2, which we kind of already discussed in Wreck, but, you know.
Sorry.
We'll go back over it and we'll, you know, pick up more stuff from it. But with that, peace be with you.
And with your spirit.